I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that together we'll indeed learn from God's word. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Today and this evening we are just considering one verse, and this is verse 2, but for the sake of understanding the context, we'll read together verse 1 up to verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible reads as follows. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I'll read verse 2 again, since this is the verse that we are looking at. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Those of you who follow the postings from the media team will see that the title, the theme for this evening's message is Paul's portrait of an ideal minister. Paul's picture of an ideal minister. And here we are talking about a minister of the Word of God. In other words, we are looking at what Paul is saying a minister of the word should look like. Before we go any further, probably you are asking this question: why should we look at this portrait? Is this not supposed to be a message to the pastors? Is this not supposed to be something that these men who preach, and especially pastors, should be concentrating on? Well, we know that this was written to Timothy, but although it was an individual letter, it was also made available to the churches and the Christians in order for them to know, in order for them to learn. Therefore, it is important for us also to know how a minister of the gospel looks like. Some of our young people may be going out of Lusaka, maybe out of the country, and they are to go into a church where God's word is preached. I know people will follow music, sometimes they will follow fellowship, sometimes they will follow friends, but the key thing that men ought to look for is the preaching of the word. And so when these young people go out, what sort of a pastor are they looking at? Well, maybe you are about to relocate to another place or thinking of just moving, and you want to go into a place, but what sort of a minister is in that place? In this world, When you look at a picture of a pastor, a minister of God's word, what comes to many of our friends is the physical appearance. What sort of suit they are wearing, what sort of shoes, the size and the shape of the shoe, it is all visualized in this physical way. But Paul gives us a portrait of how a minister is supposed to look like in order for us to know. And not just to know, I pray that this evening we'll be able to appreciate something of ministers or something about ministers of the gospel. I hope that as we start peeping into their life and the things that they have been called to do and how hard this work is, that we are going to be moved to pray for them, that we'll pay attention to the preaching of God's word. My prayer is that we are going to be encouraged as we look at Paul's portrait of an ideal minister. Paul has written 13 letters in the New Testament. Of the 21 that we see in the New Testament, Paul has written 13. And in these Pauline epistles, we see that he has written specific letters to specific groups of people. Namely, we see that he has written some books or letters addressed to the churches or to local churches. And here we see that he has written from Romans to 2 Thessalonians to groups of people, in other words, to these local churches. So the Romans there, we see him addressing the church. We see him addressing the congregation, as it were. But after 2 Thessalonians, we see now that there are three pastoral epistles. And these three pastoral epistles are 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. These are written to individual people, individual pastors. And this evening, we are actually learning from one of those books which were written to an individual pastor, as it were, in Timothy. 2 Timothy has a background of Paul growing old. Paul's death is drawing near. And so he charges Timothy to carry on with the gospel work. He knows he doesn't have so much time here on earth, and therefore he wants to make sure that he imparts this knowledge. He encourages this young pastor in Timothy in order for him to be so equipped. And so we see the charge in chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives him this charge. He doesn't mention this charge in verse 1, but he mentions it in verse 2. And this is the charge: preach the word. This particular charge seems to be short, but it has got a very heavy, weighty meaning, and it is so important to the ministry of this man called Timothy. It has this meaning which is deep, and the weight behind it, because he is dealing with souls. He is dealing with God's children. He's dealing with those who are special to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this charge to preach the gospel is very important. He says, preach the word. Timothy was not to turn from sound doctrine to the midst, as it were. And we are told this in verse 3 and 4, that it is possible actually for a minister to tend to the midst of men. It is possible for him to start preaching what is not ordained of God. He was to focus his ministry on communicating God's revealed truth. Paul tells him specific things to do. Verse 2 carries this picture, which has got three things that I would like us to see. Number one, we see that he tells him to preach. And so the first portrait of an ideal minister is that he preaches. And apart from being charged to preach, in the second place, he says, be ready. And being ready gives us the second point, which means this man needs to be prepared. So an ideal picture of a minister is that he preaches, but in the second place, he is prepared to preach the word. And we see another picture here in verse 2. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. All long suffering gives us another idea of this picture. He is patient in his preaching of the gospel. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you, beloved brethren, is that we have three points to show us the portrait of an ideal minister of the word. Number one, he preaches the word. Number two, he is prepared to preach the word. Number three, he is patient in preaching that word. And so if you are to look for a man who is effective in his ministry, a man who is called, you must be able to see these things that the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to ensure he does. Number one, he preaches the word. Here we see in verse 2, preach the word. In other words, what Paul is saying to young Timothy is this, that you must be able to proclaim, because the word used for preach, which is keruso, it simply means to proclaim. It means to be a herald. It means to be a public crier. Someone who goes to the public and cries to them with a passion to tell them about God's word. So when we look at this portrait, we are saying that one who is an ideal minister cries out. He preaches. He publicly declares. You cannot have a minister of the gospel who does not preach publicly. Of course, there is room for private ministry. There is room for him to go and counsel people. But what Paul is saying to Timothy is that you as a minister, you must be a public crier. And a public crier goes out to people, to God's people, to those who are unsaved. He tells them. He does not withhold God's word. He offloads it, as it were, with a passion. So he says, preach, keruso. And we reminded of John the Baptist, the one who was crying out in the wilderness, the one who was to preach the gospel. Paul tells Timothy, this is your primary task. This is the first duty of every minister of the word. Paul does not just talk about it here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, he addresses the Corinthian church and he tells them that this is what I've been called to do. This is my business. He preaches. But of course, we cannot just end in saying he preaches. We see here, preach the word. So he preaches the word. And the word being referred to here is the word of God. This is what the preacher is to preach. Well, it sounds like it is common sense to you, and it sounds like it is a straightforward thing. It is not something to debate about, but today we have ministers, so-called ministers of the gospel, who do not preach the word. They preach things that are nice. They preach things that are just sweet to the ears of those listeners. But the true picture of the minister of the gospel is that he preaches the word. So the crying out, the proclamation, the heralding, as it were, it is heralding the word of God. He preaches the word of God. God's word is what he utters. Because this is what God has entrusted in his care. The ministry of his word. This is what he has been provided with. He gives what he has been given to his hearers. Someone once said, the foundation of every ministry is God's word. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 2, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. What about 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So he preaches the word. He does not preach opinion. He does not preach what is prevailing on the market. He does not preach what he hears other people saying. He does not preach what he heard at some seminar somewhere. He preaches what has been entrusted to him. And so when you have a pastor, that man has been entrusted with God's word. When you have a minister, this man, we see that God has deposited a word in him. And so he preaches. He preaches the word of God. And the phrase preaches the word of God or preach the word gives no room for left or right in terms of alternatives. There are no alternatives. He has to preach only and only the word of God. In other words, a minister of the gospel has to stick to God's word. He has to stick to what has been deposited into his life. He has to stick to what has been written in the book, and that is in the Bible. He must preach the whole counsel of God. We see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, this being referred to, the whole counsel of God. In other words, he preaches a balanced diet. He preaches the word that is balanced. He preaches the word that is complete, so to speak. In other words, he is not selective in the way that he preaches. When we talk about this whole counsel of God, we are not talking about a man who preaches verse to verse from Genesis to Revelation, verse to verse, but rather what we are saying is that he is one who teaches the whole of God's revelation. the balance of things. He is looking at what God has said man should do. He is looking at how God has revealed himself in his word. He is looking at what God requires of a man in terms of salvation, how they ought to be saved, how they ought to live when they are saved, how they ought to look forward and prepare for eternity. And therefore, when we say he preaches the word, the verse we are considering has given us a hint. We jump the out of season and in season, and look at what he said here. He is to convince. He is to rebuke. He is to exhort with all long suffering. What we see here is a combination of what is needed for every Christian to have a healthy Christian life in terms of being fed. Here we see the convincing, we see the rebuke, and we see the exhort. What are we saying here? A true picture of a minister of the word. Here we see that he exposes sin. Reprove to convict, rebuke to charge sharply, to warn, never to be afraid to preach against sin. God has called him to preach in this way. One who will boldly stand up and thunder against sin and evil. This is what he is supposed to preach. And we also see that it is not just about to convict and to rebuke. It is balanced. We see that he is to exhort, to call one side aside. It is also to sit down with people, but it is also to address them, to give them hope. And I'll give you a picture of when people are not repenting. Perhaps they are living in sin and they are not hearing. And here is the passionate preacher. He exposes their sin. He tries to convict them, but you also encourage them. He will exhort them and tell them about the availability of salvation and to tell them about the hope in Christ, as it were. This is a minister. He is not just one who talks about one thing, and that thing probably is just to encourage people. He is one who is not just coming to the pulpit and pampering men and telling them you are the head and not the tail. He is one who is not just saying that you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. He is one who goes deep into their lives as revealed by God to tell men to turn from their sin. This is the picture of a minister of the word. He preaches a balanced diet. But how then can we briefly try to draw some application regarding this first point? We must realize, as a congregation, as Christians, that God himself has ordained these men to preach his word. He has not just ordained these men to preach his word. He has ordained the means of preaching. So he has also ordained the way that they are to preach. They are to rebuke. They are also to exhort. We must realize that. We must look for these things in a minister. Not that it is now our aim to scrutinize, but we must pause and think, is this what I'm getting from this man of God? Is he one who preaches, who is not scared to go to Daniel and Revelation, who is not scared to go into Songs of Solomon and bring out the gospel? Is it not this man who is able to encourage those that are bereaved, to rejoice with those that are rejoicing, but using the word of God. In other words, beloved, we must be looking for these things and praying for them. Not just praying that God will bring a man, even the man that we have, we must be praying for these things, that they abound in his life and they are so visible to the benefit of us and to the glory of God. Not only must we be looking for these things in a minister, beloved, we must expect and accept rebuke. We must expect and accept rebuke. Beloved friends, there are moments when people become uncomfortable when God's word is preached, and so they become very uncomfortable because they are being rebuked. And so it is like someone is poking their heart, and therefore they even make a resolution that they will start looking at their phone. They will switch off, as the young people will say, he has zoned out, and they go and they don't listen to you, but they are still present. They have chosen to block their ears because of the rebuke. We must expect rebuke. We must accept rebuke. The very thing that causes you discomfort as you are listening to that rebuke is what shapes you into a better Christian. The very thing that you are trying to despise and you end up sinning is the very thing that will make you even better in the eyes of God. It is something that will make you even more effective as a family man, effective as a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. So we must expect and accept rebuke. We must not hate the preacher because he brought some uncomfortable word to us. So if Paul is telling Timothy, do these things, indeed, they are important to us. We must also expect encouragement from the minister. And if we must expect encouragement, it means that by implication, we can also go to him. When we have problems, we go to him. He is to encourage. He is to uplift us. He has been equipped this way. And it is not just the ministers, pastor we are talking about. Even the elders, they fall into this category. They have been given God's word. They have been given special ability. And therefore, they have the encouragement that we so desire. We must go to them. Well, first, he preaches the word. Second thing that we see in verse 2 is be ready. And this gives us the second point. He is prepared to preach the word. That word which has been deposited into his life. That word which he has been called to preach. He must be prepared to preach the word. Just in case you have missed where the prepared to preach is coming from, it is just the word ready, or the phrase be ready. To be ready is to be prepared. To be ready is to be on standby, as it were. And this is another portrait of a minister of the word, that he is prepared to preach. And one who is prepared to preach means he is not lazy. He is not being forced into it. It is not like we have to plead with him to come and preach. He is ready and he is willing. And this is the portrait of the minister in the second place, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Well, Timothy is told, be ready in season and out of season. And the season we are talking about here is not be ready in January when it's raining to go and preach. Be ready by the coats and the vest in June. Be ready to have a certain attire for October. It is not that kind of being ready. But what he is saying is this: regardless of the circumstances, you have to be ready. Timothy was to be ready when preaching was convenient. The phrase "in season" refers to times when one is ready to preach. By common sense, this has to be done. But there's also another part. Timothy was to be ready when preaching was not convenient. This is the meaning of the phrase "out of season." When it is not convenient, so to speak. These are the times when proclaiming the truth is awkward. These are the times when proclaiming the truth is difficult. These are the times when proclaiming the word is resisted. Be ready. But it is not just about opposition and the environment and the circumstances around this minister, but it is also what is happening in his life. He is to be ready to preach the word, to be at hand. He is to be alert at all times. His ministry is not to be dictated by mood or hormones. Can you imagine having a minister who wakes up today and, as they say in some quarters, he woke up on the left side of the bed or left side of the leg, I don't know. And he just says in the morning, "I'm not coming to preach." Can you imagine? Your pastor says at 10 o'clock through another elder, "I'm not coming." Dictated by hormones. Dictated by mood. A pastor is not supposed to be like this, he tells Timothy. He looks for where to proclaim the gospel. Therefore, he is ready. He is alert regardless. He could be discouraged because of gossip. He could be discouraged because of character assassination. He could be discouraged because of lies going around about him, etc. But he has been called upon to dress up and show up. He has to come and preach, irrespective of these things. He might be discouraged by church politics or by administrative hiccups. People who want to determine his paycheck. People who are withholding good. People who are deliberately making him humble. People who are doing things in his face. But he still has to show up and preach. And not to come and preach about those people, but to come and preach about the word, or to preach the word of God. He might be feeling unworthy to preach that morning because of some experience. He might be feeling unworthy that morning because of what someone said or because of what he did. And that does not mean that he should not come and preach. He has to preach the word. He has to show up and preach. And this is what Timothy is being taught. This is serious business. It is very different from the friendships that we have and the interactions where you are provoked. And once you are provoked, you say, "I will not go to that particular meeting because I was provoked." Where you say, "Because you have provoked me, I will work from home." Not that kind of thing. Where you say, "Because of what you are saying, I'll teach you a lesson, I'll not sign those papers," you will not have your contract renewed, you will not have those benefits or whatever. But this is different. He has to show up. Beloved, this is the picture, portrait of a minister of God. He does things even when his heart is heavy. He has to stay true to his calling. He has to preach because he has been called to do so. friends and brethren. This shows us, because of what Paul is saying to Timothy, that this kind of ministry is not for a novice. This kind of ministry is not for those with a short fuse. This kind of ministry is not for those people who don't love God's children. This kind of ministry is not for those people who keep things in their hearts and they don't forget about things. It is not a kind of ministry for a kind of people who go to bed. The sun goes down with things on their hearts. It is a ministry that is difficult. And therefore, we are saying it is a ministry where someone really has to exercise love. Here is a man who is criticized on a Saturday. On a Sunday, he has to feed you. Here is a man who is criticized somewhere, and yet when you are bereaved, you want him, and he has to come. You are getting married, he has to come. He has to be available for you. And when we see, be ready in season and out of season, he is telling them that life will not always be easy. It will be difficult, but you must do what God has called you to do. Beloved friends, we must pray for these ministers. We must uphold them in prayer. Beloved friends, we must visit them and encourage them. Is it not just a few days ago when we heard from this pulpit that sometimes pastor would just receive a person to come and say, I'm just checking up on you. And therefore now he's happy that, oh, there are people who care about me, but he's encouraged as it were. Be ready in season and out of season. How many of us have stopped ushering because of one simple statement? How many of us have left ministries because of one simple statement? How many of us have changed churches and we are just now moving from branch to branch? Maybe it's even ministry to ministry because of what was said. But look for this minister. He needs to have a thick skin. He needs to ensure that he is ready to preach. Though he is going through these tough times, he has to preach quickly. And thirdly, finally, the other thing that we see, and just to remind you, here when we are looking at these pictures, we are even using preach, which is P. Second was prepared, and third is patient. He is patient in the preaching of the word. He says in verse 2, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Patience and instruction are two important components of an effective ministry. Those who are called by God to minister to his people will be discouraged because of the responses of their audience, but they are to be patient. What about the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Wasn't he patient in ministering to the people? Wasn't he patient in ministering to those who rejected him? And so his followers and those who proclaim his word must do the same. They are to be patient. And Timothy is being told by Paul, be patient. Human beings are not like a computer where you just type things and off you go. But sometimes human beings will need to be patient with them. And I personally sometimes do feel, but why? We preach about YPYP, come to YPYP all the time. You know it, but why? Yes, you don't. And so maybe you're running out of patience. Here we see a minister has to be patient in his teaching, in his admonition, in his encouraging of people. He has to be patient with them. Why is it so? Because these people sometimes learn slowly. Sometimes they take time to chew whatever has been given to them to eat. Sometimes they will need time to realize their sin. Sometimes they need time to be convicted of their sin, of their behavior, and so the minister has to be patient with them. Sometimes we do sharpen our knives and we see that the elders are taking long. And we see that people sometimes have been dealing with this particular individual, but it has taken time. And so sometimes we feel they are taking long. You know, we feel we must do something. Well, after reflecting on these verses, I was reminded, being patient, and the word used, all long-suffering. Every kind of patience, gather it. It must be applied in its totality. It must be patience at its highest level. So in teaching men, in preaching to them, of course he's human. He'll be like the prophet who said, no, I'm not going there. You've spoken to them before, I'm not going there. He'll be like those who grew weary to preach, but the Lord wants his ministers to be patient. Strictly speaking, including ourselves today, the amount of information and preaching that we have heard, either here, some other places, on the internet, conferences, surely we must be somewhere higher in our Christian lives. Surely some of the mistakes that we commit, we shouldn't have been doing them. Because so much has been taught to us and we possess so much. But Paul tells Timothy, be patient with all long-suffering and teaching. So the patience here is not just like sitting and waiting. The patience is combined with teaching. Teaching and waiting to see the result. As you are teaching your children, probably when you have your devotion at home, you continue to teach them. You continue to share the gospel. Slowly but sure, you are looking forward to a day when the result will be seen. Long-suffering and teaching. Beloved friends, we must conclude. What Paul is telling Timothy is for him to reflect upon and practice and hold dearly. It is something that will prosper his ministry. And prospering his ministry, we are not just talking about having an effective delivery of the word. It is effective to the extent that people's lives are built. It is effective to the extent that God's children become a better people in the sight of their God. And so this charge that has been given to him should form some kind of picture that we must be looking for in a minister of the word. Maybe you are going to uni out of this country. Maybe you have been given a transfer to another city and you are looking for a church. Where you go and the minister found there is very important. Is he a minister with this kind of portrait that Paul is giving us? Beloved friends, ministers are a special gift to us. And so we must pray for them. We must value them. And I'm saying this because sometimes it is difficult for them to stand. And it will be so awkward even for pastor to stand here and say these things. And probably you are going to say he's campaigning or he's trying to draw some sympathy or whatever it is. Maybe you'll be accused. But this is the truth and the word of God. This is the picture of a minister of the word. It is not a picture of a flamboyant man with a flamboyant attire, with a flamboyant house, with flamboyant, everything. It is a picture of a servant of God. It is a picture of a servant of God who goes through hard times to even minister, but has been kept and is being kept by the grace and power of God. Beloved friends, we must pray for them. It is not easy. By the grace of God, they continue to minister. By the grace of God, they continue to proclaim God's word. I hope and pray that we can be a kind of people who look beyond an individual, not to overlook their sin, not to overlook their faults, as it were, but we look beyond that individual to look at what the Lord has intended. It is to use that vessel, that channel to bring the word to us. I hope that we'll be able to remember that it is God's word at stake. It is not an individual. It is our lives at stake. I do encourage you, look at this portrait regarding the word. You will be fed, and you never go wrong. Amen.